Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to Kathleen Can Do It, the DIY podcast celebrating the fun and fails of doing it yourself. I'm Kathleen Martin.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney.
And we're just two Kathleens learning new DIY skills on the go.
And in this episode, we're discussing a very controversial article that came out earlier this month about HGTV magazine from the Washington Post and Martha Stewart's tips for making your home look more expensive.
I totally agree with that article. I don't think it's controversial at all.
You mean the HGTV magazine one?
HGTV and these modern decor shows are making our homes more boring.
But first, Kathleen, if anyone has been following you on social media at Create a Colorful Life, they've seen you on the brink of basically like a psychotic break. And because you've been just like speed renovating your dining room, is it done?
Big win.
It is 100% done. I am sitting and recording in it now.
Oh, that's where you are right now. I was wondering, because usually you have your couch behind you because you're sitting on the floor in the living room.
I have my first table and chairs in this home.
That's so exciting. So you have an actual dining room now, a place where you can eat food sitting at a table. Have you and Brian been eating your dinners sitting, like looking at each other?
It's funny you say that. So we've eaten here every night. First night, I was like, okay, where are we going to sit? Because once we choose this, mm-hmm. we have to sit here forever.
Yeah.
In my childhood home, if anyone sits in my seat, I'm like, funny, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I've sat here for 35 years. You know, like, what? You can't sit there.
It's funny. Because at my mom's house too, my brother like seems to have like a memory lapse or something, because he sits in my spot and I'm like, I've always sat there. What are you talking about? He's like, no, I would sit here as a kid, and we fight over who gets to sit where now.
Oh my gosh. I chose actually like the same position as in my parents' house.
Yeah.
Right next to the head. And Brian chose the head seat, which I like because we don't have to make as much eye contact. And I told him that.
I mean, and I guess there are some people who sit down at the table and like actually have conversations with each other while they're eating dinner every night, which is weird. But I was going to say, what is it like actually having eye contact with your significant other while you're eating dinner without the TV on?
So now we get breaks. I can just look at this painting in front of me when I need an eye contact break. But it's really good. It's like, I actually almost got tears in my eyes yesterday as I was setting the table, because that was a very big part of my life as a child growing up. Mm-hmm. We sat at the dining room table every single night.
Yeah.
And to put the napkins out and to set the table felt very special. And this was the first renovation that changed the flow of our home.
Yeah, because you changed the whole footprint of the downstairs.
By opening up a wall, it changed the function, it changed the flow, whereas every other renovation we've done has been like just slapping paint on something ugly.
Yeah, yeah, like a surface level renovation.
Yeah, everything was just more aesthetic and making the home more beautiful to me, whereas this was like, wow, this improves our everyday life. This makes our life better.
Yeah.
And it made the renovation that much more special.
We'll have to do a whole separate episode on your ceiling, because the text messages that I was getting from you about painting your ceiling were so funny. And the stories you were posting were really funny.
Six times. I painted the ceiling six times. And this paint only needs like one to two coats. It wasn't a paint problem. It was a me problem.
So ceilings are tricky, and they're definitely like very specific techniques to painting them. So Kathleen, your dining room is done. That was your big win.
Monumental win. Yeah. The biggest win of my life.
So I have a small win.
Small wins.
And it presents like a big fail. But
that's funny.
I am doing a video series right now called 30 Days of Kitchen, where I'm going to post 30 videos and I'm going to renovate my kitchen within 30 videos.
I like that you clarified. It's not, yes. It's truly not 30 days.
No, it's not 30 videos. Days, 30 videos. And I posted this video number three, day number three of my kitchen renovation. And on Instagram, it did fine. It was the reel did fine. But on Facebook, Kathleen, let me tell you, I have over 2 million views on my video. It's like blowing up. I posted it earlier in the month. I'm still getting new comments on it every day. And it was my foray into using power tools. And the comments on that video were so critical and mean. Aww. Because at the end, I make a joke like, I'm a contractor, woo, woo. And or I'm a carpenter, woo, woo. And people were like, girl, you're not a carpenter. I hate you DIYers, always thinking you can do everything. Hire a professional. But you know what? I have taken the time to respond to some of these like really mean, overcritical comments. And mm-hmm. the people are kind of taken aback when they see that I've actually read their comment. And they've right. been giving me tips. And I've been learning so much from the people who were mean to me at first in the comments. It's a really eye-opening and really funny process.
Well, that is a great silver lining because it's so weird. My Instagram community is very nice and I yeah. think yours is as well. But there's something once you switch over to Facebook or TikTok, people feel very comfortable being mean.
They do. And
I don't know. It's just psychologically, I'm like, what makes you go out of your day to be like, you know what? I'm going to say something mean to a stranger right now. And I always try to respond. I've only had a few, but with like kindness, like, oh, thank you for your input. And yeah, they're like, oh God, no, don't talk to me.
I know. They get so flustered. It's mostly men who are saying like shitty things to me. And I get it because there are people who have built their whole careers on being contractors. And you know, it's funny, straight up strangers will go to bat in my comments for me. Like, at least she's trying. Give her some credit. Like, it's,
yeah.
Oh, it's the funniest dynamic ever. But now I know when I'm using a circular saw to tie my hair up and not be wearing loose clothing.
Oh my God, Kathleen.
Because it can get caught in
there. Your hair was down?
Yeah, my hair was down. And I was wearing like a button down shirt that wasn't closed. And people really called me out on that. And as a power tool newbie, that was something that I didn't really think about.
That's scary. Yeah. Okay. Well, you made the best of it.
Yes.
Design time.
Okay. There is a new article entitled HGTV is making our homes boring and us sad, one study says. And it's by Rachel Curzius. Now we are going to give a preface.
Yes.
We love HGTV, truly love Better Homes and Gardens.
Yes.
I think they do honestly provide a lot of inspiration, and there's plenty of shows that are not doing this. So I think what they're kind of talking about is this idea in general, and I think you could also apply this to Instagram.
Yeah.
It's that certain companies or brands or Instagrams or shows are trying to push one idea of what is beautiful.
Yeah.
And like kind of one aesthetic. And the easiest aesthetic to sell is minimal.
Yes.
Whites, blacks, creams, greens, because it is so widely appealing.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times on these shows, they will err on the side of caution, especially if it's a surprise makeover.
Yeah.
And you know, like it's easy to just make everything clean and minimal and have a great success. But when we are seeing that idea over and over again, and you have an aesthetic that is different,
yeah,
it starts to make you question if you're wrong.
So HGTV, they have to put out, especially on their social channels, on their websites and stuff, and on their TV network too, they have to put out so much content, so mm-hmm. much content that at some point they just do the same aesthetic repackaged in different television shows over and over and over again because it's what they can produce faster.
Yeah, I can see that. I think the bigger overarching issue and what it mentioned in this article is, and something we talk about a lot, is designing our home for others.
Yes.
Designing our home for the next buyer. and making choices that we truly don't even want mm-hmm. because we feel like we need to design for this next person mm-hmm. when sometimes there is no next person, yeah. which is really interesting. Someone might be in their true forever home, do a renovation, feel like, well, I guess I have to do a white cabinet or a gray cabinet.
Yeah.
And they never plan to sell. And then the article states that like these shows are making them feel like, A, they have to renovate. Mm-hmm. But then when they renovate and they go minimal and neutral and perhaps in a way that they didn't want, then they feel bummed after yeah. renovating too, which really sucks.
Essentially, people are fearful when they're making design decisions in their houses because they see stuff that's different on TV and they second guess everything that they think that they want. If it works for you, if it's functional for how you want the space to be and your family, go with what's in your heart.
Yeah, we need to design our home as a sanctuary for ourselves, make choices that make us happy. Even Marie Kondo says that she is no longer being tidy, that she found that she can't handle it.
Yes.
You just have to live.
When that headline came out about Marie Kondo saying that she can't keep up with the tidiness, I sent that to all my friends because the year that her book came out, I received like 10 copies of that book from people as a gift because they know I'm not a tidy person. And every person who Rude. Gave it to me, I was like, see, even Marie Kondo can't do it.
I think it goes both ways, but not judging yourself
yeah.
for either. Like when my home is put away. And when I mean put away, the basement, you can barely walk.
Yeah.
Everything floor to ceiling looks like I collected. I'm a giant hoarder. It's psychotic. But on the surface level,
yeah,
it looks good. And that makes me feel good. But also, don't stress out if it's messy.
And of course, there's not going to be clutter in the homes that you see on all of these home decor shows because they literally took everything out of the house and it's sitting in a storage container in the driveway. And that's why you don't see any of the actual possessions that people have.
Yeah, just enjoy your home the way you want it.
And we'll include all of the links to these articles in the show notes. Let's get into this thing that I saw from Martha Stewart. It popped up on my Apple News feed. And right away I was like, click, I need to know. Martha Stewart's tips for making your home look more expensive.
I can get down with this because my house is cheap AF. How to trick others. 10 easy steps.
But you know what? The person that I think really nails this is our friend Gail. Should we phone a friend?
Oh, yeah. Gail is perfect for this. Yeah. Let's do that.
Hey, Gail, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy you picked up the phone.
What are y'all doing?
So, Gail, we saw an article, How to Make Your Home Look More Expensive, and we immediately thought of you because one of the tips is painting in a high gloss.
And we've talked about Gail on the pod before. Her Instagram account is at the Southern Gail, G-A-I-L. Do you remember when we gave the wallpaper in your son's room a shout out, that cute little football collegiate wallpaper you put up?
Oh, yes. I remember that.
So in the article, How to Make Your Home Look More Expensive, one of the recommendations is painting in a high gloss. And Gail, you are a pro at that. So can you give us some tips?
Girl, I got you. I got you. I love high gloss. I was very intimidated to try it, but there are some beginner high gloss options that make it, I guess, easy for a DIYer.
Like, just to give a little bit of background, Gail's house, beautiful on her Instagram, but you famously did, is it like the walkway? Is it your
mud room.
And the bathroom.
Believe it or not, I have two high gloss rooms.
Oh, tell us more.
So my powder room is high gloss in Benjamin Moore paint, and my mud room is high gloss in Fine Paints of Europe. And so when you see a super high gloss room that is like reflective, like a mirror, it's probably one of two paints. It's either Fine Paints of Europe or it's lacquered, which is, you know, a skill all on its own. It's not painting per se. It's a special skill set that's lacquered. So some people lacquer and then some people paint in high gloss.
Oh,
I have never lacquered. Lacquer is a whole other beast. I painted in high gloss. And so most people assume to get a super flat, smooth, high gloss finish that it would be sprayed. But my mudroom was done by brush and by hand.
But how? I can barely get a smooth surface in a semi-gloss. Like, it is so mirror-like.
So I have a few tips. I have a few tips and tricks. If you are down for the 7-step week-long process, yes, you know, 3 weeks to paint one door, like if you are down for the let's do this, Fine Paints of Europe, I called them and they said, like, it's not rocket science. It's just, you know, you just have to keep going and keep going and keep going. And so I started with a 220 grit. I feel like most DIYers think a 220 grit is like a very smooth by the time you get to 220. Well, I like start at 220 and work all the way up to an automotive finish of like a 1500 grit wet sand. Yeah. It requires an oil-based primer. And then it requires, well, I started with filling the grain with their special putty, and then you do an oil-based primer, and then at each coat you literally sand it down to be like automotive smooth, and with each step you get higher and higher and higher, and it is just very, very labor intensive. And then the final coat, you only put one coat of paint, and it is so thinned out with paint thinner, and you heat it. I heated it in a crock pot. And
yeah,
it goes on like glass. I mean, it is incredible, but it's just a very slow, very meticulous, very slow process. So like, if you're down for that, you can do it. Like you can do it.
Wow. And was it the same process when you used the Benjamin Moore?
No, not at all. Okay. No, Benjamin Moore applies very much like a normal paint. It is very much so the homeowner friendly, normal.
Yeah.
Paint, but I did heat it in a crock pot. I did sand, not nearly as well. I think I used 400 grit as the highest sandpaper. But I just sanded everything down the best I could. And then I did two coats of the Benjamin Moore high gloss paint.
So let me ask you this, Gail. It's always been my understanding, because you live in an older home, right?
1930s, baby.
Yeah. So in the bathroom, because the cabinets are kind of a different ball game. I mean, Fine Paints of Europe, it's like a basically a professional paint. But in the bathroom, did you have the drywall redone before doing this? Because it's always been my understanding that high gloss paint in an older home, because the walls have more sort of, you know, dents or whatever, just more character from being older, the high gloss paint picks up every imperfection. So what's your experience with that in your bathroom?
You put it so nicely and so elegantly. It has more character. Yeah, no, old homes are,
yeah,
old homes are a beast. I have plaster walls. Yeah. And some of the walls are not straight. They're bowed, which makes wallpaper really fun.
Yeah.
But the high gloss went on top of original paneling. Mm. And so it's wood. So it made it easy to sand. But I did not sand down to the original wood. I just kind of did the best I could.
Yeah.
That being said, in a high gloss paint, the higher the sheen, that's why ceilings you paint in flat paint,
yeah,
you don't see the imperfections. But yeah, the higher the sheen, the more that you see every single pin drop. So when people paint with, you know, going back to the Fine Paints of Europe, when people spray that, I know a couple of certified painters that paint with a Fine Paints of Europe that spray it, you have to have a negative air and a wet floor.
Oh my God.
So that you have to wet the floor and you have to suck air out of the room constantly. And so any dust particles that might be on your clothing or in the air get sucked out or trapped in the water on the floor.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's how finicky high gloss paint can be at a professional level. So the Benjamin Moore is a great, if you know, it's not going to be like looking in a mirror, but it gives you that super shiny, way more than semi-gloss, really beautiful finish that is not high tech.
And it does look really expensive. Last question, did you have to thin it for that application?
I did not thin it, but I think it would have helped. I think thinning it a tiny amount and heating it really helps it go on without any brush strokes.
Yeah, I love how you on your Instagram are always like, this is my crock pot just for heating paint. Do you heat, like even when you're using matte or eggshell or whatever, do you heat every single paint that you use?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, if it thins out, it's really just with it being so reflective, seeing the brush strokes. That's really what you don't want. So it's really, I mean, I guess you could, but I don't think it would make any difference at all, because you're not going to see any reflectivity off of an eggshell, you know, hardly any off of like an eggshell, yeah, or definitely a flat paint.
That makes sense. Though I'm curious to try it. I think maybe I just want to give it a try and see what happens.
You should. You should.
Gail is the queen of making her home look expensive. You definitely have to give her a follow, yes, at The Southern Gail. Not only does Gail like look beautiful all the time, but she also does all the work. Like, Gail, you do it all.
Yeah, you do all the renovations yourself. You have a handyman who comes and helps you sometimes, but like most of the time on your reels, you're in there with your ankles, knees, wrists, and hands in the trenches.
Oh, yeah. Dave is my man. My handyman comes to the rescue for doing things that I don't want to do. But yes, I like to get in there.
Well, you're an inspiration to the both of us.
Well, thank you so much. Y'all are as well. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And we will see Gail next week at the Haven Conference, so we get to see her in person. Yay.
Woot woot. Woot woot. Again, you can follow Gail at The Southern Gail, and we'll put a link to her handle in our show notes. Thanks, Gail. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know what? We're going to have to continue this list next episode, because I think we're running out of time. Let's do our social shout out.
Social shout out.
Today, we are talking about somebody who we met last year at the Haven Conference. I've been following her on Instagram for a while. Her handle is at Miss Vicious Design, and her name is Genesee.
Genesee is kind of like part vintage, part eclectic, part a little bit goth. And mm-hmm. nobody does Halloween better than Miss Vicious.
Yeah, she has a beautifully eclectic vintage style. She is a vintage reseller, so she always has her eye out for that next best thing. And I just love that she truly designs for herself, for her own aesthetic. It's really unique, very beautiful, and so one of a kind. When you look at her post, you're just like, wow, you would never see that exact setup in someone else's home, because it's so, you know, personally curated.
She has this bed that has a headboard behind it. I think it's in her primary bedroom. All of the beds in her house, by the way, are like these old gothic bed frames. But she's got this one that is so old. It's like this dark wood. It looks like it was a bed frame taken from a church in Europe. It is.
Yeah.
Her bedrooms are truly unique, and the way that she mixes and matches sort of like a dark, spooky look while incorporating a lot of black, but also a lot of color. She is masterful.
Yeah. And she has that dining table that is a ram's head on both sides.
That's right.
It has like this gold ram's head, but what supports the glass top are these really long horns that curl over on themselves. They're super cool. She got it on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, my God.
And Joy says the trick is like really crappy photos where you can like barely see it. And then you like realize you discover this like complete gem.
That's so funny.
It looks perfect in her house. Definitely give Miss Vicious Design a follow. She is so fun. All right, Kathleen, what is going on lately in our Facebook group?
Something so exciting. Want to give a shout out to our listener, Nikita. She posted a bathroom before and after makeover. It is mind-blowing how good it came out. And she used three products. She used paint. Four. Paint, a brand new shower curtain that's so colorful and bright. Then she redid the tile on her floor with peel and stick. And then she redid tile halfway up her bathroom wall with peel and stick. Painted her vanity. I'm telling you, I was like studying the before and after photo, and I just couldn't believe these were surface renovations, because it looks like two completely different rooms.
It looks so good. It looks so different. I'm looking at the before and after now. She painted the walls a bright white, but added that very colorful like cheetah print curtain, shower curtain.
Yes.
And peel and stick does wonders. It's so inexpensive, but it can pack a really big punch. So we're so proud of Nikita for making that change. Yes. And just improving the look of her bathroom.
And she wrote on Facebook, "I'm really proud of learning a lot and doing as much as possible myself instead of copping out and letting my husband or my dad help me. Girl power. In fact, that's how I found the podcast looking for tips and tricks for peel and stick tile, which you can see behind the toilet below. Thanks for being a great community of DIYers. On to the next project.
Tears. We love it. And that is why we have the Facebook group, because it's not, this podcast is not just about us. It is about inspiring others, but also creating a community of listeners to come together and support each other.
Yeah.
And that happens every day in the Facebook group.
And we're all learning together. Like, Kathleen, you and I have been doing DIY projects for a long time, but there are still things that we don't know, and we are always learning on the go.
Yeah, just like we learned from Gail. I didn't know those tricks. And Gail, oh my gosh, she's so inspiring how much she does herself. Wow, just look at Fab.
I know, Gail is, we always talk about, we're like, where did Gail come from? Her taste is so good.
I know, we want to be Gail when we grow
we
up.
We do. Everything that we talked about this podcast and more, you can get it in our show notes. You can follow this pod at Kathleen Can Do It everywhere.
You can follow me, Kathleen Martin, at Create a Colorful Life.
And me, Kathleen Heaney, at Kathleen Loves Color. Leave us a voicemail. We have a phone number.
Our number is 201-378-3378.
Or if you have any questions or need advice on anything that you're doing in your house, send us an email, hello@KathleenCanDoIt.com.
And if you head to the website, don't forget we are selling our ebook for how to design a dream home in Canva, how to create a mood board.
Yes.
That's on sale for $9.99. So scoop that up before the price rises.
Yeah, we sold a whole bunch already and we've gotten some really good feedback and people are like, yes, finally, I'm learning to use Canva as well. So it's about designing your house in Canva, but also it teaches you how to use Canva.
Yeah, win-win.
Well, until next time, don't forget, if Kathleen can do it, you can do it too.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Expecting heavy downpours all day today.
You're a builder. You build. It's literally in your job title.
Woo! Let's hit it.
A little rain isn't stopping you. Not today. Not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.